All right, Luke chapter 10, verse 19. We're studying the word enemy.
I have the power.
No. We should finish that a long time ago. Behold, I give you power to tread on scorpions and serpents and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now, yesterday we studied one of the enemy of the evil one, meaning you. Let's see the enemy of another enemy here. A couple. First Corinthians 15. I'm gonna have to give in and start using my other Bible. This one is just
the word wore out.
Huh?
Wear the words out, or what's the matter?
Well, it's all sticking together and torn and wine. And anyway, 1 Corinthians 15. We're talking about, actually there's two, let's go and start in verse 20. This is the assurance of the believer. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruit of them that slept or died. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, and afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he put all enemies under his feet. And the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Now, it's important for us to see that an enemy can never be anything external to you from God's standpoint. You can't have any person external to you, anything. The only enemy that is here is that which is within you. That's the only enemy. And until you see that, you're always going to have opinions and positions and, you know, do you understand that?
The only enemy is within.
And it's you.
And it's you.
And it's all that you are, which one of the things you are is death. But he destroyed death by the resurrection. Let's continue on and let's go. Let's start in verse 45. It's talking about resurrection. 42 instead. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam what Did I miss something?
No, the door slams.
Oh. The last Adam was made a quickening or life-giving spirit. And I've asked this question 100 times. If Jesus Christ was the last Adam, who are you? Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. And as is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, so we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed or transfigured in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be transfigured. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So the last enemy to be destroyed is death. But again, we must see this mystery in us. Judgment must always begin at the house of God. You are the house of God. Therefore, that issue of death has to be seen as destroyed already in you because of his resurrection. Is that clear?
Yeah. Otherwise, it's not finished.
Huh?
It wouldn't be finished.
Right.
If it weren't true.
It wouldn't be true. We need time. All right, let's go and see what he says. Let's go to James. Chapter 4. From whence cometh wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? You lust and have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war. You have, yet you have not, because you ask not. You ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts. You adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. So again, this is why this renewal of the mind is so important. If you're a friend of the world, you're an enemy of God. You can't live in both arenas. That's a biggie. Does everybody understand what it means to be a friend of the world?
Why don't you tell us?
It means to have any alliances with something in the world. You're a friend of the world if you have an agenda. You are a friend of the world if you have an investment in the outcome of anything. You are a friend of the world if you have an opinion. Does that make it clearer? Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to Luke 19. That'll take forever. Never mind that. A couple more. Let's go to Romans 5. Start verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience. Experience should be translated steadfast endurance, and it experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, or enemies really, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. We are reconciled to God. Remember, reconciled means to exchange. We are reconciled by his death. Then we are saved by his life. It has nothing to do with us anymore. Now this is, we're going to get, in a minute, we're going to get to this interesting word, hurt, here in relationship to that. Nothing shall hurt you. All right. Let's go to Colossians 1 and see it again. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians. Chapter 3.
In which book?
2 Thessalonians. Remember, we're studying the word enemy. verse 10, for even when we're with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. But you, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. And if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man, and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. You shun him, essentially, that he might be ashamed, but don't count him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. And we've seen this over the years. We've had this happen more than a handful of times. We probably always screwed up, but... All right. Last one with the enemy. Let's go to Galatians 4. I get screwed up. I didn't write. I put 6 instead of 16. All right. This is Paul, let's start in verse 8. Howbeit then, when you knew not God, you did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now, after that you have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn you again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto you desire again to be in bondage? You observe days and months and times and years. I'm afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. Brethren, I beseech you, be as I am, for I am as you are. You have not injured me at all. Through infirmity of the flesh, I preached the gospel unto you at the first. And my temptation, which was in my flesh, you despised not, nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. Where is then the blessedness you spake of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me. Now, you understand what he's saying? His eye... He had that terrible infection where the infection caused, unbelievable, you can't say it nicely. He looked like an ogre with this red, pussy, and it just wasn't just in his eye, it was all around the circle of his eye. And so he really looked bad, and he was slowly losing his sight. And so he's saying to them when he was with them that they would have plucked out their own eye and gave it to him if it were possible. He's talking about that love. Now he's contrasting it. He's saying, where is then the blessedness you spake of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me. But am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Now, what he's discussing here, it doesn't matter which aspect of the law. It can be returned to cause and effect. It can return to circumcision. It can return to some keeping of some kind of voluntary humility. But Paul is saying, you idiots. You cannot, his whole preaching of Galatians is, if you keep one aspect of the law, you're judged by the whole law. It has to be total freedom or total nothingness. And so they had been seduced into keeping some aspect of the law. And he's now he's preaching against that in this whole book. And so he said, "Have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" Amen. So that takes care of enemy. We've had enemies the devil isn't our enemy because he's defeated. But his persona in you as the instead of Christ is the mortal enemy. So you cannot have an enemy external. All apparent external enemies are only there to test you, to see whether or not anything can draw you away from the mercy seat. Everybody understand that? So therefore, forgiveness is easy. Forgiving from the heart is as automatic as breathing. But you always have to remember, forgiveness is a commandment. You have to forgive. And it's not a commandment. It's what happens naturally if you understand what you've been forgiven of. But reconciliation is always God's business. So you can't make the basis of forgiveness some transaction. And again, that's so easy to fall into that. We want a transaction in order for the forgiveness. For there to be forgiveness. So then what you do then is you make that other person your enemy. Or it's you're the enemy. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
It's
because it's all God's business. You can't. Right. If you expect a transaction in order for you to forgive from the heart, that means you have to protect in your right for that offense to have been done.
The forgiveness is between
you and God.
Yeah,
the reconciliation is all God's business, none of ours. Amen. That's only in the satyrs, you're right here.
In the body.
In your aspect, the body that you're touching.
So it doesn't travel outside the body?
No.
Where do you get that?
From actual seeing, reading. Forgive from the heart. If you can't forgive from the heart, well, there's no forgiveness. Well, yeah, but hear me. I've had hundreds of people over the years come and tell me, Oli, I forgive you. What the hell does that mean? Forgive me for what? What did I do to you that you say you forgive me? That's kind of self-righteous.
Well, that's one aspect, but it doesn't cover the field. That's your personal experience where plenty of that.
Yeah, but there's no one in the world that I haven't forgiven from the heart.
Do they know it?
That's not my business.
Well, I'm saying maybe it is your business.
Well, I'm saying you're wrong.
Well, God knows, I suppose. But you cut off the blood flow, and it's like you're sitting around fine. Maybe somebody else is just boiling it, and needs something.
Give me an example.
If you trespass against me, and I am able to forgive you, but I don't tell you, then you never know what happened. You're just some.
You don't think that would come up as the natural as breathing without any.
Well, then say that if it comes up.
That's what I'm saying.
Or the natural part is you do go to them. I mean, you connect.
But you don't, it's not a thing to do, it's a what is.
Well, a minute ago, it was like it wasn't necessary.
No, I'm talking about, look, there's an action that takes place where they're really only talking about satyrs, and then if the satyrs are connected, it's there. Remember, this is talking to the first century church.
Yeah.
Okay, everything within that, if your brother offends you, you go to him. Everything is right there in that intimacy, out of the same womb.
Right.
But if the offense is something outside of that, then if something transpires, then it's as natural as breathing. But it would be self-righteous of me to go to someone to say I forgive you when they don't even think they've done it for an offense. Well, that's just sorcery then. It's just using words to say you don't want to be self-righteous.
Well, it can also be you're prideful, and it's easier to deal with God than to deal with that other human being and humble yourself.
Well,
maybe we're not talking about the same thing, but I think there is a, when you say there's no transaction, that kind of sticks in me.
Well, I know.
No.
If I've offended somebody, then I have to do it. Can we leave this one alone just for right now? And I'll get, and you and I need to talk privately, because this is a biggie.
It is, so why don't we continue on with it?
Well, because we're at the end of time.
Then we can pick it up tomorrow.
That's a big deal, bro.
It really is. And I don't think it affects everybody in this room. Let's run with this one.
All right, we'll do it.
No, they can hate you later.
What?
I said they can hate me later.
Who?
The group, because this could turn into a long.
Well, again, hear me. If there is something that you believe somebody has offended you here, then you go to them.
Yeah. No, but I want to continue the discussion because it's really interesting and it's starting to explore avenues that I don't think we really explore sometimes. You know, that's pretty simplistic. So,
you got to give me an example.
Okay. Why don't we pick this up tomorrow and I can get another cup of coffee in me and continue with my thought process?
Well, I don't want it to be philosophical.
Okay. You need to get that idea out of your head. I mean, you want discussions, but you can't cut them off because you don't like the basis of them.
No, I'm saying I don't like philosophy. If you have a specific to say, say it.
Okay. Well, we're
not just in the terms of a philosophy of saying something.
I don't even know what you're talking about. So,
well, I'll tell you what I'm talking about.
Let's take it, big guy, and pick it up tomorrow. Okay?
We'll be back later.
To be continued next episode.
Well, all I'm saying is, I think that this needs to be said in an environment in which there is specifics. I'm not sure the specifics should go out over the airwaves.
Well, see,
so,
this, he started a general conversation, so now we have a general conversation going. So, yeah, it does. It really does. And so,
what do you mean it really does? What really does?
The whole nature of this from the heart, how you forgive. It's all tied up into, you know, exhort somebody while it's still today. What does that mean? Usually around here I've found that when someone starts exhorting someone else, just to know the way to make mischief and for the other person to puff themselves up.
Well, if you've seen that, then you say it. When you see it, you don't say it 6 years later.
Well,
or around here.
I have said it, but this is also within the same vein as how do you do this? So most people go, what do we do? What exactly is this? So you need to kind of clarify this a little bit. It gets a little vague at times. Vagueness sometimes is not good. Anyway, I am finished for the morning. I need more coffee.
So the thing that you're leaving us with is vagueness is no good?
Yeah, I'll handle that one.
No, wait a minute. All right,
hold that thought.
No, we'll do it. We'll do it later. Take it, big guy.